This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The Giants draft met with almost unanimity that they did a great job. And the guy who led the draft, his first draft as the GM of the Giants, is Joe Shane. He's nice enough to join us now. Joe, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing very well. I'm going to really give you a convoluted question, but I go back to my college days. So in my junior year, I was the assistant sports director, and when the big decision had to be made, it was the sports director's problem. Then in senior year, I became the sports director, and all of a sudden, the big decision had to be made. I'm looking around and go, oh, it's me. Did you get that moment at all where you've always been the guy who didn't have to make the final decision, but on draft day, this was your baby?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Typically, you know, just recently in Buffalo, I could just lean over to Brandon and say, well, why don't we do this? This is what I'm thinking. And then if the decision went otherwise, I'm like, all right, well, he made it. There was nobody for me to lean over to and give my opinion to. This time it was a lot of work to lead up to it. Really good job by the staff. And, you know, it ultimately somebody had to make the decision. But, you know, there's a lot of collaboration between the college scouts, the coaches, and myself, you know, to lead to the final picks. But, yeah, it was definitely different.
Now, let's dive right into Thibodeau, because from a physical football standpoint, seems like a no-brainer. The negative seemed to be, you know, kid's got an ego. Is he right for New York? How much did that bother you? Was it something you were at all concerned about going into drafting him?
Yeah, I mean, you hear that stuff, and then you get around the kid, and, you know, he's an outgoing, fun, smart, kid that we really enjoyed visiting with. So, you know, again, there's going to be different personalities. You know, some kids are really quiet. Well, you could knock guys for being really quiet, or, you know, guys are outgoing and talk a lot. You know, you just had to really get down and see were there truly anything that was negative to worry about. And, you know, we really liked the player. You know, the personality I was fine with, the work ethic, not playing hard. We did a lot of research, and, you know, we didn't really see any issues there. You know, the kid had a serious ankle injury. And again, to his credit, he fought back and, you know, played late in the year when a lot of kids, hey, you're going to be the number one pick overall, as people were talking about. You could just hang it up. You know, you could just say, you know what, I don't want to risk injury, go play more games and potentially get injured and, you know, not be able to be, you know, maybe a top 10 pick. And he didn't. He went back, he practiced, he got right, and, you know, played all the way up through the Pac-12 championship game.
It came out, I guess, yesterday that Jerry Jones, the top two players on his board were the top two players that you picked. Does that make you feel good or bad?
Yeah, I don't know. I respect that. Will McClay is a good buddy of mine. You know, he's in charge of their personnel department over there in the draft, and does a really good job. So I hope he was right.
Now, you took Thibodeau with the number 5, and then you took Evan Neal with the number 7, and Okwana was picked between. Did you ever think about taking – I don't know if Neal rated above Okwana for you, but did you think about taking the offensive lineman with the 5th pick and thinking that Thibodeau would drop down to 7?
Yeah, we just – when two tackles were there at 5, we had been through that scenario, you know, a million times. Hey, if Thibodeau and two tackles are there, let's take the pass rusher, and we know we're going to get a good tackle regardless how it shakes out, and we're ecstatic that it worked out that – Evan Neal was still there at 7, but, you know, that was the plan all along. You know, we had several different contingency plans. You know, we even said, hey, what if, you know, scenarios where, you know, you ended up with Icky and Evan Neal. Like, what's your offensive line look like if you have a chance to get them both? So we went through a million different scenarios, but we're static with the way it worked out.
Was there a lot of activity when you have high picks like that of teams trying to trade into the first round? Did you see that at all?
Yeah, we had a lot of calls on 7. Nobody ever called on 5. So, you know, that was the pick that, you know, people were trying to trade up to. But, again, we had 6 players we really liked. And if one of those guys were there at 5 or 7, you know, we said before even going into the draft, if we can get 2 of our top 6, then we're just going to do it. We're not going to move back or make any moves. We're just going to pick at 5 and 7.
Now, the first 4 picks, Joe – the Stingley pick by the Texans, did that kind of set things up for the Giants where, hey, we're going to get exactly what we want? Because I look at that pick, and I think a lot of NFL people look at that pick, and they're a little surprised that Stingley went there.
Yeah, I mean, we had mocked that. You know, you never know, because when that stuff starts coming out, you know, a week before the draft, and, you know, Nick's a buddy of mine in Houston, but he's pretty tight to the vest, and stuff doesn't really get out of their organization. So, you know, you're kind of like, is that a smokescreen? Is that real? Is it not? Well, they, you know, then you heard they may take Icky. So it was just a unique draft from that standpoint. You really weren't sure what was true and what wasn't. You know, the Walker stuff to Jacksonville was out early. And, you know, you're trying to, is that, you know, there weren't any quarterbacks up there this year. There really wasn't a consensus. I mean, if you pulled the teams, a consensus, you know, number one player, two player, three player, I mean, you saw Dallas's board, I guess, from what was out there. You know, you could have pulled several teams and there'd be a different top five, and, you know, which made this draft unique. So, yeah, we had kind of mocked it with Stingley going at three because that's what we had heard. But, yeah, again, we'd been through so many scenarios. You know, I wasn't surprised he went there since the rumors were out.
All right, so you didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Jones, and that makes sense because the right. jury certainly still is out. So was there any thought, as Willis dropped, of drafting a quarterback?
Again, we scout every position the same, like every position, like just because it was quarterback or corner or running back, you know, we sent coaches out in the spring, and we also sent coaches out to see quarterbacks. You know, so we did our homework on those guys. Like we do all positions. So, you know, if the value matched up to where we had a guy on the board at a particular time, then that would have definitely been a consideration depending on what else was on the board. But, you know, the way it worked out, we went other positions this year.
You raised some eyebrows with Wandell Robinson. Tell me why you liked him so much. 5'8", obviously a dynamic sort of player. Does he repeat some of the talent that you already have on your team?
Yeah, and you know, I was asked that at my press conference. Like, is he like Kadarius Toney? And right. I said, I think we'd all sign up for multiple Kadarius Toneys. But he is very quick. He's explosive. When you look at the highlights, his run after catch, his ability to separate, you know, in and out of cuts, and you know, again, what we can do with him. He played some running back at Nebraska. You know, Kentucky State Player of the Year. So, you know, where the game is going in the spacing game and spread and the ability to generate yards after the catch. He checked a lot of those boxes, and, you know, if you go back and look at some of the Buffalo stuff where Daboll was and how he utilizes offensive weapons and then, you know, what Kafka, you know, was around in Kansas City, you know, I think you'll see he'll be a valuable chess piece in our offense.
Now, you're obviously not completely done, but the draft is over, and you've got some weapons already on this team, and you've strengthened the offensive line. Do you believe there's enough there that you can get a really honest assessment of Daniel Jones this year?
Yes, I think so. And that was the goal. Again, there have been, when I came in, injuries were something that we were looking at, you know, trying to find the why, you know, the past couple of years that there have been a lot of injuries. So it wasn't just, hey, let's get, you know, really good starting five offensive linemen. It's like, hey, we need to create some depth and competition as well. So between that, you know, is Wandell a redundant skill set? Well, remember, Kadarius missed some games last year. You know, he was injured. Shep's coming off an Achilles. You know, Slayton's going into the final year of a deal. He's a UFA. You know, and then Galladay obviously just signed his deal last year. So, you know, you got to look big picture and down the line, too, of, you know, who's going to be available and what's the roster going to look like, you know, a couple years from now. So I do think there's some weapons. Again, you know, we were a little bit handcuffed in free agency in terms of what we could do financially. So this was our opportunity to continue to add, you know, frontline players along with depth players. So, you know, Saquon, another year off of the injury. The receivers I just mentioned, you know, we added, you know, a few tight ends. So I do think there's some weapons there, you know, where we can definitely be competitive.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, free agency was tough. There wasn't a lot of room under the cap, and there still is not. So that brings me to James Bradberry. What are you guys going to do with him?
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out. We should have a resolution by the end of the week. You know, it's everybody knows where we are financially, and it's a big number. It's 13-4. And, again, there's some teams that maybe didn't get corners that we've had conversations with. Obviously anything along those lines would be for a 2023 pick. There's a situation where we could, convert the salary and you kick it down the road. But then, that's why we're in the current situation we're in, because of, moves like that, which we're trying to avoid. So, again, we should have a resolution by the end of the week. It stinks because James is a great kid. He's a true professional. He can still play, still a starting corner. His agency has been great. We've had really good dialogue with them since this happened. And, obviously if you move on from him, there's a huge void on your roster. But, for what's best long-term for the franchise, we're trying to weigh that while also being able to, which I've said since day one, compete today and build for tomorrow. So we're trying to find that fine line in the balance.
It has to be so frustrating, Joe, because, you kind of have to serve two purposes. You want to bring in the best talent you can, but you also have to manage the cap. And because if you bring in the best talent and you're keeping the best 53 players, Bradberry's one of them. And that must just be so infuriating. You inherited a bad situation. That's essentially why you got the job. But if you're keeping the best talent, it would be hard to let go of James Bradberry.
Yeah, you're right. And there's a huge void there. If you do have to, that's what we're trying to balance. And again, it's unfortunate. He is one of your, he's still a good player, but his contract is structured in a way that, he's one of the few that, you can move on from and it wouldn't kill you, but he's also a good player. So yeah, that's the balancing act. That's what I've been fighting over the last 3 months. It is what it is. I'm trying to find out the best resolution I can, again, so we can compete today and, do the right thing moving into the future too. So that's what I continue to wrestle with.
Now, circling back to the quarterback, as you said, Jones is going to get that ample opportunity. You have Tyrod Taylor, who has started in this league before. Do you view him as a backup to Jones or somebody that can maybe legitimately compete for the job when camp opens?
Yeah, Daniel's our starter, and Tyrod's the backup. And, we were very upfront with both quarterbacks, including, Tyrod's representatives when he signed here. So he knew exactly what the vision was. And, I was with Tyrod in Buffalo the year. In 17, we went to the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. So I'm very familiar with Tyrod. Love the kid. Really good worker. True pro. And, excited he's here.
Now, it was announced today the Giants are playing the Packers in London. I would assume that's probably preferable for you than playing them in Lambeau, right?
Yeah. It really is. Like, as much as I love going to Lambeau and the history there, haven't had a lot of success playing there, and that's a tough place to play, especially as you get later into the season. Regardless what time of year, it's hard to play there, but it's specifically once it gets cold.
Are you cool with Evan Neal in the right tackle? Is he better suited to left tackle, Joe?
Yeah, I think right tackle is going to be a good spot for him. I think right tackle, again, it was great to see him play guard, left tackle, and right tackle. Some of the other tackles that we were studying in the draft, it was a true projection to right tackle because they had played minimal snaps. So the ability to have an entire season in the SEC of a guy playing the position you're going to draft him to play, You know, that gives you a little bit more comfort level when you're turning in the card on that guy.
Now, is offensive line still something you can address, you think, in free agency and as we get closer to camp or even in camp?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to be able to look. I mean, it never stops. We don't play till September, but we'll always look at every avenue to add depth, competition, starters. You know, again, players will be cut over the next couple of weeks. You know, as players were drafted at that position, guys will be on the street. And then, you know, there's always trade scenarios as you move into August. And then, you know, once the final cutdown comes, we'll be fifth in the claiming order. So at the end of the preseason, that'll be an important month for the personnel staff and myself in August to make sure we know the league, you know, roster projections, who may get cut, and, you know, who we may be able to claim. So, again, we don't play till September, and, you know, we'll continue to look and always be, you know, throughout the season, start to finish, we're always going to be looking to upgrade the roster.
All right, Joe Shane, the Giant GM, is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Before we let you go, a little bit of a loaded question. The way this team looks right now, and there's still some work to be done, do you think you can compete for a playoff spot? Are you looking at the season that way?
Yeah, listen, we haven't even put pads on yet, so I don't want to get into any predictions, but just looking for progress. You know, I want to see a team that goes out there, that plays hard, they're competitive, they don't beat themselves. You know, we play smart, tough, and dependable football. That's what I'm looking for, progress. Progress from last year, that the roster's improving. And, you know, I'd like to see our young foundation, some of these young players, you know, come in and compete and hopefully put their best foot forward. But, you know, I like some of the young guys we have on the team. And, you know, I think we should be able to be a competitive team.
And not quite as loaded a question, final one for me. I'm a Giant fan, and here's my concern, Joe. And I don't know if you can even help me with it. But if Jones doesn't work out, like, what can the plan then be to replace him?
Because
if you don't have the high draft pick, I mean, do you worry and, like, think about, because I'm sure you have to have every contingency plan, is if he doesn't work out at the most important position in the NFL, what can be done?
Yeah, I'll cross that bridge when it happens. Again, like, we're just, yeah, like, the whole offseason has been, let's upgrade the offensive line, let's get him some weapons, and let's see what Daniel Jones can do, because the last thing you would want to do is move on from any player, you know, regardless of position, and then go somewhere else and have success, you know, and you had him in your building. So Regardless of position, you don't want that to happen. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can. And, you know, I think, you know, Daboll's history with quarterbacks, you know, Mike Kafka's history with quarterbacks. I think we got a really good staff in place, and, you know, we've upgraded the roster. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do.
Now, Joe Douglas, who does your job over with the Jets, he was on with us and said, you know, the weeks leading up to the draft, you just don't sleep. Is that true? Did you get any sleep?
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, I was running on fumes, and then, you know, you get home late Thursday night and your adrenaline's running and you're already thinking about the next day, and, you know, you can get to sleep, but you're staring at the wall at 3 a.m. And then the same thing after Friday night, you know, you're getting ready for Saturday. So, and then Saturday night, you're probably partaking too much celebration after the draft. So you don't sleep real good Saturday night, but I'm starting to catch up now.
There is a celebratory event Saturday night of some sort among the brass.
Yeah, well, the coaches and the scouts and the personnel and the wives, and, you know, we all had a little get together at a local restaurant, and it was fun. It was a culmination of 3 months of hard work, and, you know, people moving their families and uprooting their kids from school, and, you know, all leading to everybody buying into the organization, wanting to come here and get this thing right. So it's just fun to get everybody together, and you know, that was just celebrating one part of the process, being the draft being over, and, you know, just another chance to build camaraderie amongst the coaching staff and the personnel staff. So, yeah, that's it. We got together Saturday night and, had a little get-together.
Get some naps. We appreciate you coming on, Joe. Hopefully we can talk a couple of times during the season, and good luck.
Yeah, awesome, guys. I appreciate you having me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe.
You too. That's Joe Shane. All right, we'll come back with your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Also, the Yankee lineup, so I want you to think Russ Roulette, who got it today, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.